Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy, the podcast that empowers you to transform life's challenges into opportunities for personal growth and healthier relationships. We're your hosts, Tim and Ruth Olson, licensed marriage and family therapists and trauma experts.
As experienced therapists with backgrounds in addressing trauma and mental health disorders, we believe there is hope and there certainly is healing.
We have spent our lives supporting people through the ups and downs, and we want to share these insights with you. Together, we'll unravel the layers of personal growth, healing from trauma, and building healthy relationships. Each week, we'll bring you engaging conversations, expert insights, and practical strategies to help you heal from the past, foster healthy communication, and develop enduring love.
This podcast is your guide to transforming adversity into triumph, healing wounds and past trauma, gaining wisdom and insight, and creating meaningful, fulfilling connections. So if you're here to heal, to better understand yourself or your relationships, you're in the right place. So sit back, get comfortable,
bring your trauma and your drama,
and let's start healing.
Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy podcast. We're so glad that you guys are here with us today. Today you guys are in for a special treat as we have a guest interview with Erica Holmes. Erica is a licensed marriage and family therapist and has been practicing for over 15 years. She owns a private practice and provides in-person and telehealth therapy. She's also a clinical supervisor for a mental health crisis support program that targets youth and young adults via a texting platform. And today we're going to be tackling women's issues related to high stress and demanding careers and balancing all of that with motherhood. And Erica is such a great person to be able to have this conversation with. So I really hope that you guys enjoy this as we jump into today's episode. So today we have Erica Holmes on our podcast and we are so excited to have her. She is a colleague, but more than that, she is one of our friends, and we love any chance that we get to spend with her. I initially met Erica when we worked together at a nonprofit, and she was so kind and so welcoming. I was kind of a new person there, and she is just such an amazing person to know. She has one of the biggest hearts that I know, and she is so generous. Even before I really knew her, when she had her daughter, we had our daughter maybe a year after, and most of our daughter's clothes came from Erica and her family and her sweet daughter. And so we still have some of them that we've used through all four of our girls. And really, a lot of times when I see the little initials on the back, I always think of you, Erica, and I think, man, she has been just such a huge blessing in my life. And Tim and I have gotten a chance to work together with her, and we just have a blast every time we're together. And so I just love Erica dearly, and we're excited for her to be on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for that amazingly warm welcome. I am extremely excited to be here with you and Tim. You and Tim have absolutely been an enormous blessing in my life and my family's life. I still have the Bible that you gifted me. Gosh, I think we had already known each other for a year, and you gifted me the most beautiful Bible. I even had my daughter use it when she started her school this year. She's at a private school. And so I was like, here, use this one. You and Tim have been such a blessing in my life. And, you know, I am always honored to be part of anything that you're part of. So thank you for having me here today.
We're excited to have you.
So today we're going to be talking about women's issues related to high stress and demanding careers and just balancing all of that with motherhood, which I think really happens so much in our culture today. And so before we jump in, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and what you're doing, what your passions are?
Absolutely. So I have been in this field, in this industry, practicing, I want to say my entire life. This is something that has become naturally. I think most therapists will agree that there has been some part of their life that's been involved with helping others. And I think that's what really brought me to this field, was just a genuine love for interacting with people and being somebody who could guide somebody to their full potential, who they really want to be. So who am I, right? still on the journey of figuring out who I am. But so professionally, I have been actively practicing since, 2009. I've had various jobs within the mental health field, working in nonprofit for a number of years. That's where I really learned all about being a therapist for about 6 or 7 years, working for a nonprofit, working with families. Loved every second of that part. Didn't love the billable time of it, but loved the interaction. After that, I was able to really focus more on raising my family while I was working there. That's when I did become a mom, got married, became a mom. Let's back up. First, I married, then became a mom during that time. And that's when I realized that motherhood and being a full-time parent was really where my full calling was at that moment. My husband and I made really deliberate efforts to ensure that I could be a full-time parent if we were going to have more children. And so we made that happen. And so after about 6 or 7 years, I was able to become a full-time mom and raise my family. And I say full-time mom, but I still was working somewhat part-time. That's when I was able to start working with teens in crisis through a texting support line. So I have been able to keep up with my professional career while being a mom. Just recently, I was able to open up a private practice, and now I am able to do that part-time while my children are in school. So the flexibility has been really nice. So I can still be a full-time mom and still be at the PTA, take them to their sports. So my passion, I guess, would be my family and then my career.
So your career is kind of second place. Now, it sounds like you did a lot of work to try to figure out how to make this balance. And it sounds like there's probably some sacrifices that had to be made for you to be more full-time at home and just kind of working a little bit part-time. Would you mind talking a little bit about some of those sacrifices or things that you did to try to bring some of that balance to motherhood?
You know, I think the word sacrifice is an interesting choice because what I once thought was a sacrifice turned out not to be a sacrifice because I was able to shift my mindset onto what are my goals and what do I need to do to achieve it. And so I didn't see what I was doing as a sacrifice. It was really just in what I needed to do to do what I wanted or needed in my life. And so I stopped seeing it as a sacrifice. I used to think of it as a sacrifice. And I think that's what was stopping me from going after my goals.
And so a part of it was like for you to help yourself make that balance. It was just kind of reframing the thought process behind it.
Right, exactly. And so what would have been a sacrifice was me not reaching my goals. And I didn't want to sacrifice what my end goal was. I didn't want to sacrifice being a full-time mother or anything else. Like that would have been a sacrifice, not achieving my goals. And so that's where the mind shift change happened for me, was I was sacrificing being a mother first, and that wasn't going to work for me. And so everything else now turned into getting in the way of me reaching that goal, which is in my mind, a full-time present mom for my kids. And that's going to look different for everybody. You know, motherhood and what motherhood looks like is really going to be defined by each person and each family.
And I think it is interesting because, yeah, it's you're a full-time mother, you're full-time present when they are available, but you still have your job, you still have the texting line that you're doing, plus your own private practice. But you have fit those things into times and parameters that are around your kids so that you can be more present and you can reach that end goal. I'm sure some of the things that came along that ended up working out for you, they were probably things that you didn't necessarily initially think were an option, like the crisis texting situation, which sounds like a great deal for mothers, where it's like, I can work, I could be with my kids, but I'm just responding to these crisis texts.
Absolutely. And it was also where my husband had to be on board with it. And if it didn't work, where I could still reach what I was considering being present and full-time, then I didn't do it. And so it just happened to work. Everything aligned. Whatever opportunity was presented to me, I had to ensure that I was able to align that with what motherhood looked and felt like for me. That was also a conversation that had to happen with my husband as well. And so he was aligned with it. So it was always a work in progress. And it, to this day, is still a work in progress. Whatever opportunities come my way, you know, whatever opportunities are presented to my husband or his work, whatever opportunities are presented to our family, I still check in with, is this aligning with my goal of being a present mother?
Yeah, and I like what you say about shifting your mindset for that sacrifice, because I think that's so true. It's the way that we look at things that really puts things into whatever perspective or whatever experience we have. And so when you say I switched what was a sacrifice for me, I can totally see that, because we look at it and we think, oh, we have to shift our finances and we have to give up this and I won't be able to work out of the home or I won't be able to do this and this. But then you're really saying like, oh man, I get to do all of this with my kids and I get to. So all of that stuff isn't necessarily a sacrifice to give it up. The sacrifice would be if I couldn't be with my kids, that would be the sacrifice. So I totally get what you're saying with that. And I love that perspective, because then it allows you to be fully present. Just like you're saying, it allows you to find the joy in the season that you're in. Because I think that really is the case, that for each family, it's different and we're all in different seasons. But the season of life where Tim and I had one kid versus us having five kids is very different. Or us being newly married versus where we're at now in our family life is so different. So I think that as we take a look at things, like that season of you working full time and working in the nonprofits and all of that was so good at that time. And you figured it out and you balanced what you needed to with your marriage. And then now being a mother, it changes things. It totally changes your perspective. It changes your desires, all of that. And so I just love that perspective that you have on that.
Yeah, thank you. And I think motherhood is unique for each person. And so I'm very cognizant of what motherhood is going to look like for each individual person, but either motherhood within the context of a family, because every family has to define what their motherhood is going to look like, what fatherhood is going to look like. And so this has been a constant conversation that I've had to have with my husband, because he also comes into this family with his perspective of what motherhood looks like and what he was envisioning motherhood would look like for his children, and ensuring that that conversation is continuously being updated, because it will look different as our children age and what our roles are and what needs to happen for our family to feel balanced is also a continuous conversation. Motherhood with three young children. I have three. And so they're different genders, different interests, and what that looks like and how to balance that as they're aging, as their interests are growing, as our family needs are changing. It's all a balancing act. And it's the only way to really balance it is to have open conversations with everybody involved. My husband, getting him involved in that conversation, and each kid. Really, even at their young ages, understanding what their needs are, what their interests are, what they're wanting, it's all important.
And I think that's a hard part for a lot of people of the balancing act, is trying to get people on board with it. People who you can't force to be on board. And if you do force them to be on board, you're going to get bad responses. And so how did you do that dance where you're talking to your husband and trying to cast this vision of what you wanted parenthood or what you wanted your motherhood to look like and that balance that you wanted to strike?
First part was I had to be very clear with myself, and I had to have a very clear understanding so I could communicate that effectively. What's important for me in motherhood and what does that look like? And being open to receiving what his idea of what motherhood would look like for his family and for his children as well. So that was the first part of it. And that really happened early in our marriage when we had my first daughter, because I had a different idea of what parenthood would look like. I thought I could be a full-time, 9-to-5er, Monday through Friday. I thought that going into motherhood. And then lo and behold, my daughter is born and whoops, nope, that changed. That was different for me and it was different from him. And so it was a struggle at first, but it wasn't until I was able to have an honest conversation with myself that I could have an honest conversation with everybody else and say, this is what it looks like for me. This is what I need to have happen for our family. And then I think moving forward, I leaned back on that, was checking in on myself, what I need to have to feel balanced so that I could be the best myself, be the best for my family, and be very present with everybody.
And so one of the things you were talking about is about that honesty with yourself and figuring out what you wanted with that. Now, were there ever times where it's like you moved a direction after you had the conversation with your husband, then you realize, okay, this isn't quite it, or this wasn't really what I had envisioned. I actually now need to change the end goal again. Or do you feel like your plan kind of, oh yeah, after I had my child, like I had that initial thought process change, but then all of a sudden, after we started moving that direction, the dominoes kind of fell in place?
I think it's the second, where the dominoes continue to fall in place, but maybe because I am very intentional with having this ongoing conversation. I mean, my profession leads me to being very introspective and understanding myself. And so I may have a little bit more of an edge up on that. So that's why it's important to continuously check in with yourself, which can be difficult when you are full-time parenting or where you are putting all of yourself into something where you can lose yourself. And I think that is an area where we tend to become unbalanced, and off balance is when we aren't aware of what our needs are and checking in with that. So that's a crucial part of being balanced, is having the ability to be insightful and to take time out to look at what your own needs are.
Is there any special way that you tried to accomplish that in order to kind of like look around, or is it just that's a part of your personality? You're just more naturally kind of thoughtful and introspective.
I want to say the second, but I don't know if that's true. Well, I want to think that I am very insightful. For me, it's something that's more outwardly. When I am starting to feel unbalanced is when I can look back and I say, you know what? I've been more irritable lately. I feel like I've been yelling more. I feel like I've been less patient. That's when it's a trigger for me to say, you know what? This is unusual for me. This is unusual for me to feel irritated for as long as I've been feeling irritated. And so, and I can see it in my kids. Usually if they're not balanced, if they're more irritable, it's usually a reflection of what's happening here within myself. And so that's usually something that will trigger me. So it doesn't happen instantly. It may be over a few weeks or a few months where I'm like, these are just not really looking the way they normally look and feeling the way it normally feels. What's going on? And so that's when it's like, okay, let's take a step back. Is it time to kind of change things up? Are things becoming unbalanced? Am I needing more self-care? What's going on? And it usually it's coming from me as a parent, where kids feed off of what's happening with their parents, what's happening in their household.
And I think that conversation with yourself, where you're being honest with yourself, that's hard sometimes, especially when we have all these shoulds around us, like what we think growing up motherhood should look like, right? Or my mom worked a full-time job, and, you know, different cultures have different ideas on it. And I know some of my clients where their parents just look down on them if they're staying home with their kids and they're not successful, quote unquote, successful in the business field, right? And so there's a lot of like shoulds around us. You should be doing this. You should be staying home. You should be a successful this or that, or you should be homeschooling, or you should be what all these shoulds. But it takes a lot, I think, to quiet all those voices and to figure out what for you, like you're saying, for your family is the most important. And I think sometimes it takes us a little bit to get to that point, or at least for me, I know that it takes a little bit to get to that point, because I think, okay, this is what I want. But then I'm like, is that really what I want? Or is that what I've always heard, or what I've thought, like, okay, this is the thing I should do? And so I think that's an important piece, is to really sitting down, like you're saying, and figuring out, man, this 9-to-5 or this parenting thing looks way different than what I would have imagined or what I thought I should be doing.
And I like what you're saying there too, about that if you feel like you're kind of off emotionally, where you're a little bit more irritable or upset, that that's an indication, hey, I need to do some introspection. I was like, tell people, we're not like cars. We don't have gauges that can tell us, or a check engine light that can tell us what the problem is. But when we're having regular unpleasant emotions, that's the check engine light going on. That means, hey, we need to look into this.
And I think sometimes it can be related to trauma, right? So just even
I'm giggling,
like,
I'm sorry. I'm like, yes.
And not necessarily this big T trauma, but even this little T trauma where you felt like somebody was pushing something on you. So then you're like, I'm never going to do that. And even though that might be the right thing for your family now, you are choosing to be like, nope, I'm not doing that because I know this one person. It's like when people are naming their kids and they're like, nope, I'm not naming her Brittany because I knew a Brittany in high school, right? Like, that's all a path that, even though it sounds so silly, it really does have a hold on us. And so sometimes I do think that it's that trauma that adds in that extra voice, where it's something else we have to figure out, is this right for me and my family?
And that's why balancing motherhood and the world around us is constant. And it's something that needs to happen very intentionally. And it's a skill. Learning how to balance who we are and who we are in the world is something that I think we're forced to deal with more now in this time, in this world that we live in, because of the extra influences that we have constantly on us. Where 30 years ago, our influences were really smaller. We had a smaller community around us. We maybe just had our family. We maybe just had our coworkers, maybe just had our neighbors, maybe just had our few family and friends that we interacted with because of our children and their school influences. Now in this day and age, we're bombarded with influences. And so we're constantly called to balance our lives with the multitude of influences. And there's social media, but social media is exposing us to the world and the influences of the world that we have to constantly balance. And then, like you were saying, Ruth, we also to attend to the balance of the trauma, our family experiences, our childhood, like all of those are already there. But now what we have at our fingertips is our phones and social media and the influences of that world and what that does. And the idea of FOMO as individuals, FOMO for what our relationship with our, you know, significant other needs to look like, the influence of what our relationship with our children should look like, with our extended family. Now we are just not even being bombarded with what we already had as our frame of reference of what we were trying to attend to because of our influences from our childhood and our past. But now we have all of the influences that are being shown to us on social media in and of itself.
Right. I think in addition to all that, the hustle is different too. We have way less margin in our lives now, and we have so much more to do. And I think, you know, part of that is culturally like, oh, we're going to take the kids here and then we're going to take the kids to this activity and this activity. And so there is a lot of that that also feeds into this. I know we jumped into kind of your personal life and how you're doing all of this and balancing this. But I also know that you work with a lot of different clients who also experience this high stress, demanding careers, and they're also trying to balance motherhood. So from a therapist's perspective, kind of putting that hat on, how do you guide your clients through that and walk them through that?
From the same therapeutic lens that I think I've been speaking on is really helping them understand what balance looks like for them. Women today, especially my clients, are, I almost want to use the word plagued with this idea of being successful. And I want to say plagued with it because it's everywhere. And for the past 20, 30 years, I think the pressure for women has changed and has become very heavy. And that's what I am seeing in my private practice is this heavy burden, and they're needing support with lightening that. And that's where these feelings of, I think, depression and anxiety are becoming more prevalent for women because they're not living up to these standards that are being placed on them, that they're wanting to live up to, that they're thinking is what's defining what a successful woman looks like. As a therapist, I think my guidance is really just slowing it down, helping them really take inventory of their life and what would help them feel balanced.
And I do think it's interesting, just this idea of everybody is hustling around all the time. I actually was talking to my mom about this a couple months ago, and I remember she was telling me a story about when she was a kid, just laying in the grass, looking up at the clouds and looking for shapes in the clouds. Now, life for me when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, right, it was a lot slower than it is today, but I can't also remember ever just laying in the grass, looking up at the clouds and watching them go by. I always was busy finding something else to do. And so from one generation to the next, the hustle dramatically increased. And now for these next subsequent generations, it's getting exponentially faster. There's very little downtime. There's very little time to be bored. And I think kids nowadays, or people, not just kids, can't deal with being bored. They always find something else to do in order to occupy their time. But that's what you do when you're bored. You lay in the grass, you look up at the clouds, and you try to make that entertaining.
Oh, absolutely. I just saw something on social media where what really resonated with me, and it was some sort of a meme where it said, was I the only one that grew up riding in the car and watching a race between like two drops of water on the window and having a favorite drop win the race. Like, oh my gosh, I actually remember that. I remember if you're looking out a window and there happens to be raindrops on the window and you're watching them and you're like, oh, there, that one's going to win the race down the windshield or the window. My children have never done that because they never just looked out the window because they want to be entertained or they have this or that. And it just spoke to the idea of slowing down, being present, being aware of just what's happening right next to you, right in front of you, like what's happening in the moment, which we're just missing. We're just absolutely missing right now.
All right, you guys, we're going to stop there for today, but we are not done with this interview by any means. So make sure you tune into the next episode as we jump right back in with Erica and continue this conversation. Have a great day. And remember, your mind is a powerful thing. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with a friend? Also, we'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It lights us up to know that this podcast is helping you.
If you have any questions or a topic you'd like discussed in future episodes, visit our Facebook group. Just click the link in the description below. Although we are mental health providers, this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide diagnosis or treatment. If you are struggling with persistent mental health issues, chronic marital issues, or feeling hopeless or suicidal, you are not alone. Help is available. Please seek professional help or call the National Suicide Hotline at 988.
Thank you again for joining us on Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Remember, there's always hope and there's always help.